The views and comments expressed on Space Show by its guests, callers, and listeners belong to them. The Space Show and its hosts serve only as a platform and are not responsible for others' comments or views. All topics discussed on the Space Show are primarily for educational purposes.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing.
Not because we're easy. We have three, two, one.
It's the Space Show with Dr. David Livingston. Broadcasting from seven continents, consistently bringing you quality news and interviews with the best and brightest minds in the green space economy. Here is the founder and host of the Space Show, the man who best articulates the vision of space commercial enterprise, Dr. David Livingston.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this truly special edition of the Space Show. With me, your host, David Livingston. This is a unique program. I think I've only done a few of these types of programs in the past, but this is a program to let people know some plans for 2023, get your feedback on them, maybe your suggestions, to talk about fundraising, the importance of fundraising, and the need for donations and support for this year's campaign, which ends December 31st, but supports us for the upcoming year, 2023. And we'll also take your calls and your emails on these topics, but if you want to open up and say something on a more or less traditional open line space show program, that's cool too. We'll do that. I'm not expecting to be here talking fundraising and plans for the upcoming year for 90 minutes, but I think there's some very important things to say, and I also think there's a story to tell you. Well, I know there's a story to tell you. I want to tell you a story. First, I have a couple of announcements. I have a very nice contribution from a longtime listener and a longtime donor. His name is Michael, and the last initial is D. I'm not going to say his last name. In doing my proper thank you notes, email is now being returned saying that I'm not authenticated. So if you're listening, Michael, and I hope you know who you are, if you can authenticate my Dr. Space email address or my David@OneGiantLeapFoundation.org email address and let me know, I would really appreciate it, because I would definitely like to properly thank you for your ongoing support and your friendship and your helping out the Space Show for many, many years. So I hope Michael, last initial D, is listening, and we can do that either live or on archives. If you want to call the program tonight, it's our usual toll-free number, 866-687-7223. I am open to ideas, feedback, suggestions, and you can also use email drspace@thespaceshow.com. For those of you that will be hearing this program on archives, if you have suggestions, feedback, commentary, feel free to post it on the blog or to send me a personal email to drspace, D-R-S-P-A-C-E, @thespaceshow.com. I think I want to start out and tell you what I'm thinking about for 2023. So one very important upgrade that I believe needs to be made is the Space Show needs Zoom capability, and we need Zoom capability for both Zoom video and webinar type of interviews and programming. And we need Zoom audio to help us overcome some of the audio issues that we continue to face with cell phone users for the most part. Transition to Zoom, because our board and our phone lines and the equipment we have that supports that is not connected to anything that would work with Zoom, and all of the computers that we have are dedicated to doing a specific function and could not take on doing Zoom at the same time. Zoom requires a dedicated computer. So I was able to get one from my computer service person back in California. Very, very marginally used 6-month-old super-duper Dell desktop. And we should be setting that up as a dedicated Zoom computer, hopefully by the end of this year, but if not, sometime in January, possibly when I will be off the line for a short period recovering from knee surgery. Maybe that's when Tom will come out here to make these connections and also to make some repairs that we need to have done. I believe that going to Zoom when possible is really crucial for the space show. So it will still be a live broadcast with live Zoom, and we'll see how that works out. The other thing I would like to do is to restore or bring back space show classroom programming. So many of you never heard live space show programming, but we did do classrooms as both webinars using analog equipment. All that equipment is gone, and it needed my engineer Tom to be here because it was labor-intensive equipment to work. Or we just did it with multiple phone lines. And we used phone bank services, you know, where many people could dial into the same number and we could have many, many people on the same line. And we can still do that, but we haven't put together classroom programming in many years. So for those of you that never heard a live classroom program, it was between 2 and 4 guests on a very specific topic, and we hashed it out in detail, and I do mean detail, technical detail, policy detail, if it's medically related, medical detail. We hashed it out for 90 minutes to an hour, sometimes a little longer than an hour. It wasn't really a debate, but it could have turned into a debate, and I believe we probably did do some debate-oriented classroom programs. But this was designed to be a college graduate educational class with two expert teachers, at least two expert teachers. Sometimes there were more as a panel, and sometimes it was just one who had a lot to present with virtual documents that we could show online, but because it was analog, the resolution was pretty lousy. I remember Dr. Juris did a program about heavy lift launchers and are they really economic and do they make sense or not. Back in the time, many people were totally against going heavy lift, and they thought that multiple launches of smaller, cheaper rockets was better than one heavy lift that could do the launch or the job in just one or two launches, and on and on and on. And we did some pretty detailed classroom programming on that. Dr. Logan did a lot of classroom programming on health programs, human factors. So I want to restore the classroom again as a super duper college graduate level class in detail. And there were some rules for the classroom. Number one, your comments and questions either via telephone or via email had to deal with the topic being discussed. So unlike a regular space show program, your comments and questions could be all over the board, not on the classroom. It's just like being in a college class. You ask questions, you bring in comment, it's got to be related to what the class is talking about. And other than that, that was about the only rule. And we attempted to do them quarterly. I don't know the level of intensity, but I would like to do them quarterly. And I would like listeners to offer suggestions for classroom programs and also for topics and maybe for guests as well, okay? So the classroom is costly. Let me tell you why it's costly. It's for every guest that comes on the line and does this. I can't just set it up by email. So I'm on the phone a lot. And sometimes I'm on the phone for hours in total. So my time is costly, even though the space show has never, since 2001, paid for my time. I'm almost pro bono, except I do get some indirect overhead expenses reimbursed, and the space show does cover direct overhead expenses. But my time is never been covered, but it is costly because I could be doing other things with my time, even if they're space related. So they're going to be really time intensive on my part. And it takes time sometimes to practice with the guests that are going to do it, sometimes to go over their material and decide how we're going to display it. So if it's Zoom, we probably do a couple of trial runs just on Zoom with us. Nobody knows that we're doing them, and they're not joining in. We've got to make sure that if we're going to show documents or something or screen share, that the documents are going to be doable. And we have to, I, as the moderator, have to know the topic pretty well in order to lead a good quality discussion on it. And as far as equipment, it requires Zoom, because I don't want to do it just as telephone like we did last time. I really want to do it using the marvel of Zoom, and we can do it as telephone as well as Zoom video. So all of that has to be set up by our engineer. So there's some setup costs there, and there's some equipment cost. So going to Zoom and resuming the classroom are based on the success of our fundraising campaign, because we are, as I say all the time, completely listener-supported, and we need the listeners and guests. I wish more guests, but we need the listeners and guests to support us as we move out of 2022 into 2023, so we can afford these upgrades and afford to put the time and energy into figuring out how to present the classroom, how to present material, PowerPoints and things like that that people may bring to the discussion. By the way, classroom programs ran 2 hours. So it's a little bit different than a regular space show program. Those are really important programs that I would like to bring in and upgrade. Over the years, I have talked about having co-hosts and even people hosting the show. So people hosting the show have wanted to take me up on it, but then they don't do it. I don't think anybody has ever actually hosted a space show program. Part of that is because all the equipment is over here with me. So while you're hosting the show, I have to sit here and run the show. I would like to work that out with people, and I think it would be interesting every once in a while to have other people host the show with a guest and a topic of their choice. So I'd really like to do that. And one of the things that the host is going to have to do is they're going to have to make sure that telephone lines, if that's what they're using, and what the hosts are using, are compatible. So this requires telephone testing, just like I do for almost every show, and testing with the guests, and then going over the protocols so they can run the show while I run the equipment. That's a goal for me. I'd really like to give it a try and see if we can't really do it every once in a while in 2023. I have had many co-hosts on the show, and I'm fine with continuing that. Many shows are technical. Physics shows, for example, are technical. Some engineering shows are pretty technical. And I'm happy to have co-hosts with expertise help me do more intense and elevated interviews. So I'm open to co-hosts, and I'm open to you suggesting that you co-host a show on this or that topic. So those are some things that I would like to do for 2023. But the priorities are going Zoom. Of course, I'll still have telephone, and most of the interviews will be like always. But I definitely want to be able to add Zoom into it and the classroom. I think those are true priorities for the space show. But as I said, they're funding dependent. The next thing that I want to bring up is how the space show book is coming and what role that may play with the space show for 2023. So I now, for the first time, have most of the probable book in printed form, printed meaning off of a computer printer, for me to review. I'm waiting for an additional bunch of work, and I have an additional, let's call it a chapter, to submit. I'll probably do that verbally to the editor. There is a goal that we have here. I don't know if we're going to make it or not, but as many of you know, I am honored to be receiving a National Space Society Pioneer Award at the ISDC meeting. I think it's at the end of May in around Dallas, Texas, actually in Frisco, Texas. I would love to have the book available to hold it up as I get that award, because that's actually more than 20 years history of the space show within the front and back cover. And even if it's not totally published or you can buy it, you can see a copy of it. I'd like to be that far advanced. I'm not sure how it will be published, and this is something I will discuss at length with the advisory board, which I'm going to talk about in a few minutes. My choices are, there are some Spacebook dedicated publishers, and they have expressed interest over time to print the Space Show book, and then there's self-publishing. So what I hear from most people in self-publishing is that they're really handicapped because they don't have distribution channels. Well, I do have a distribution channel. I have the Space Show and the One Giant Leap websites, the Space Show websites. And also the John Batchelor CBS Eye on the World Hotel Mars program, because John will promote it and mention it on every Hotel Mars show. He doesn't know that yet, but I know that he will do that. So I do have distribution. So I have a little one-up if I self-publish. If I self-publish, I get to control and own all of the rights. And that's important to me. Number one, the book is co-owned by me and One Giant Leap Foundation. But at some point, my kids are the beneficiary of all of this. And when I'm gone, and it maybe we'll all go to museums or something, I don't know. We don't know what the value will be at that point, if anyone will be interested in it. But there are plans for all of this when I'm long gone. And I want to control the rights. I don't know that they'll be worth anything, but I do feel very strongly about controlling the rights to the book. And even with One Giant Leap, at some time when One Giant Leap ceases to exist, the rights revert back to me as an individual. But as long as it exists and I exist, they're shared. So if I publish with a regular publisher, certainly I don't have to put forward the funding, and that's a big issue. It takes a big load off my mind and all of that, but I won't be able to control the rights. If I want to use it for giveaways and things like that to support the space show, it might be more challenging to do that. And the book will obviously be sold through donations on One Giant Leap, but it'll probably also be on Amazon and other sources, Barnes & Noble, and possibly even some local stores. So all of this is yet to be determined, and it will be discussed with the Space Show Advisory Board, because it does affect One Giant Leap. So for those of you that are on the advisory board, this will be something that I let you know at the proper time. And by the way, it's really easy to be on the Space Show Advisory Board. It requires a donation during our annual campaign period of at least the minimum of $100. Plus, you have to ask to be on the advisory board. It's not automatic to everyone, because my list then of the advisory board would be really, really long, and there might be people on it that don't care, and I'm sending out advisory information that is proprietary to the advisory board to people who don't even want it, and therefore they shouldn't have it. So anyone can be on the advisory board with a $100 donation during the campaign and a simple email to me saying, add me to the advisory board, and it's done. So the book is going to be completed in 2023. And as I said, I'd love to see it, some of it printed and available by the time of the ISBC gig, but at least I'd like to be able to hold up and maybe show a couple of sample books when I do receive the Pioneer Award, which I'm truly honored and humbled and grateful to the National Space Society for doing that. And the lead person that made that possible, Dr. Sherry Bell, who has been a friend of mine almost ever since the space show started. And she took the lead for that award, and I'm indebted to her, and I appreciate her very much for doing that. If you're listening, Sherry, thank you very much. So those are some plans for 2023. I'm interested in suggestions and ideas for additional plans or maybe variations on what I've thrown out there. Let's talk on what the funding does and of getting donations. So first of all, I do a little bit of fundraising, as you know, on every space show program. I tell everybody we're listener supported. I talk about PayPal or how you can go old school and make checks out to One Giant Leap and send them to Las Vegas. And I talk about sponsorships or sponsor billboard programs. And that's a couple of minutes on every show. But from about Thanksgiving to the end of the year, it's intensive. And I do much more fundraising. I also write fundraising letters that are going out on our email newsletter list. And I do a couple of those a week. They're posted on LinkedIn and Facebook, or at least linked to on both of those organizations. Their information is posted on Twitter. I post messages on the upcoming show menu. I do what I can on space show programs without taking too much time away from the guest to promote our annual campaign. And I do that because I really am serious that we are listener-funded. I say this, and I almost at times feel I may have to go prove it to you, but what we can do in the coming year depends on how we finish financially the December or the period from Thanksgiving through the end of the year in the preceding year. And we need your donations, and we need your support. And yes, we are tax deductible. We're a 501c3 with One Giant Leap. So if you're a federal taxpayer, you do get a donation, or you should. I urge you to check with your tax prep people or your tax advisors, both at the state level and the federal level, just to be sure that you are able to get those deductions. And, I don't know how to say it in different ways, but we do need your support. And I do it all the time. And I have to tell you, I don't like doing it. I'm not comfortable with it. Maybe you detect that in my voice. Maybe it shows up in the way I do fundraising. I'm not happy asking for money. And I wish I were wealthy, or at least wealthy enough to fund the space show myself and never have to ask you guys for money. But then I've been thinking about that a lot lately. When I ask you to support the space show and you support the space show, you have some ownership in what we do. And the success of the space show, we've been here since 2001, folks. The success of the space show rests largely on the shoulders of the listeners, the guests, and those listeners that participate in the programs with emails or with calls, live shows, and blogs. It's not me. I sort of put it all together, and I dial the phone, and I turn on the computers, and I push the buttons, but you guys bring the show to life. So if I didn't ask you to participate in the show, you'd really be removed from sort of an identification and a participation and a feeling for the show. And I'm going to go into that in just a minute. So in getting support for you, from you, you have some ownership in the space show, our message, in what we do. And it's very successful. And you can thank yourselves for that success, probably more than you can thank me for it. So if I did have the money and didn't ask you for support and just turned it on at 7 o'clock every evening and you listened, you're a little bit removed from that. But if you know you've given $100 or $50 or whatever to help support and keep the space show going, you're part of our program. You're part of our vision. You're part of our dream for what space hopefully one day will be in a greater humanity sense. So let me give you a little bit of a story that evidences this. And it's also going to be in a fundraising letter that I hope I can finish and get out tonight. If not, it will be first thing in the morning. But I don't know how many of you have yet seen the film on Amazon Prime that was the subject of our space show program last night. The film is called Good Night, Abby. And we had one of the stars of the film and one of the JPL Spirit and Abby participant engineers on the program to talk about the film and rovers last night. Doug Ellison, he's at JPL. So I want to give you the history of how this happened. It was not a regular space show program. Believe me, it was anything but. I was contacted with a typical PR message. I get 3 to 5 a week. I've sent many people on the advisory committee some of these PR messages and said, "Hey guys, should I put these people on the show, or is it too marginal, or what do you think?" And most of the people on the advisory committee reply, and we decide thumbs up or thumbs down on some of these PR messages. Many of them, I read them all, but many of them I just trash. I like shows of substance, not just reporting that money has been raised, okay? But this one came in October 6th from a PR agency, and it was sent by someone I never heard of before. His name was Lucky. I'm assuming it's a he. Lucky, I guess, could be a she as well. And Lucky sent information about an upcoming documentary film called Goodnight, Abby, and this caught my attention. So I looked over the information, and I replied to Lucky, and I said, "Yes, this is David at the Space Show, and I would be interested in learning more." So I don't remember all the details, but Lucky and I went back and forth for, I don't know, a month, maybe a little more than a month. Apparently, the OPI team and the film production team were putting together like a press day, a media day, and they were lining up interviews. So I told them that that's not what the space show does. I sent them a copy of my typical space show invitation to new invitees, and I said, you know, here's my schedule, although I can create a special schedule sometimes. and Space Show programs are live broadcast, and they're 60 minutes to 90 minutes. And we went back and forth on this because they wanted to do it during their sort of media fest, and they wanted 15 minutes here, maybe 30 minutes there. God, an hour or 90 minutes. No way, no way, no way. In any event, remember I went out of town and went back to California for Thanksgiving. About a week or 10 days before I left for Thanksgiving, Lucky and I decided on a space show date to be determined as to length of time and guest, and that date was last night, December 6th. So when I got back after Thanksgiving was over with, and I got back, I think, on the 28th or 29th, or maybe I sent Lucky a note while I was still on the road, because I drove, and I said, I need to know who the guest is. We need to hone in on the time, because the Tuesday night show is 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, and I need a bio, a telephone number, all this. So I got a reply back from Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was now handling this. And Elizabeth said that she needed a check, she needed to talk to the team. And they came back and wanted a different time, and they really wanted like 15 or 30 minutes. And I said, Elizabeth, this is all in email. Elizabeth, no, the space show is an in-depth discussion program. We're a live broadcast. We can do a 60-minute program. That's the shortest I'm willing to do. And the biggest audience we're going to have is if we keep with our regular programming dates. But we can change a programming date and time if the guest really needs it. Well, I need to go back and check with my team. And Elizabeth and I are going back and forth, and she's checking back with her team. And I would not move. I was relentless, very polite, relentless. But I was relentless. This is going to be a regular space show program. So in the end, the weekend before December 6th, last weekend, Elizabeth contacts me and says, we have a guest for you. He'll do the program at 7 p.m. And it's Doug Ellison of JPL. And he's part of the team and part of the film. So I was thinking about it. You know, they're going back and forth to this team of this movie. And you need to see this movie. It is remarkable. And by the way, computer graphics by Industrial Light and Magic, noted director, really, really incredible film, 105 minutes, just amazing. They went back and forth, and they agreed to do a regular space show program. Why did they do that? If they didn't think the space show platform had value for them, they wouldn't have given us the time of day. Maybe we would have still gotten that boilerplate outreach email, but it wouldn't have gone much further than that. They hung around, and Elizabeth hung around, because of they knew what the space show was. They knew the space show reputation. They wanted Oppy to be on that platform. So they got a great guy who has a big part in the film, by the way. He's an actor star now, as we said on the show last night. Doug Ellison, and he was an incredible guest. So Doug was supposed to be with us for an hour. And when I was talking to Doug, when I called him ahead of the show, I said, now I understand this is going to be an hour. And he said, yes, that's okay. That's fine with me. And then when I made the announcements of the show, I said this was going to be an hour. Well, we ended up almost doing 90 minutes. I think it was an hour and 22 minutes. And it was the Rover show of a lifetime. And there were people that had seen the movie that either emailed in or called in, which made it a better discussion. And we got into the nitty-gritty of Mars rovers. We got into film. It was an amazing interview. But it wouldn't have happened if the space show platform wasn't desirable. And why is it desirable? Because of you, the listeners, and those of you that are guests that are hearing this show, you, the guest, because you make this show. And how does the space show do this for 21 years? because we're listener supported, and all of you take some ownership in the space show, and you have helped us from year to year. And while there are other great examples of all of this, Good Night Oppie just happened. I haven't even summarized the show yet, but it is archived. And in thinking about it and in thinking about this fundraising program tonight, this is why funding for the space show is so important. People know that we're here. They want to be on this platform, and they want to be on it because they want the listener support. They want the questions. In fact, Doug commented on great questions from the audience. And most of the time, our guests comment on great audience questions, either by email or telephone. Doesn't matter. So, when you support the space show, you are enabling us to have these kinds of shows and to get the people and the programming we need to really and truly get the message out. We didn't do a 10 or 15 minute PR thing on Good Night Oppie, which most are doing. We had an hour and 20 minute live show with one of the superstars of the program, of the film. Here's another one that just happened. And it's another example of this. Many of you know the shows where Professor Avi Loeb from Harvard Smithsonian Astrophysics Department has been on the show. He's been on, I think, four times, maybe five times. I think four times. Our good friend and member of the advisory committee, Fremont John, sent me a note over the weekend where Avi Loeb has questioned the Big Bang Theory. So this has been a topic on the space show over the years because we have had legitimate, serious guests on the show who have questioned the Big Bang Theory. One that comes to mind is Eric Lerner, who usually talks on the space show about fusion. Well, John sent me an article about Avi's theory with a co-author, I think in Germany, maybe it was Sweden, I don't remember. They have posted a sort of a paper on questioning whether the Big Bang Theory is real. So I wrote back to Fremont and I said, I'm going to get him back on the show to discuss this. This is made right up Space Show Alley. So I think this is probably Monday. I sent Avi a note. And within an hour, Avi Loeb accepted. And he picked up the first possible Space Show date. Probably that was best for his schedule. And that is this Friday. Why would somebody of the level of Dr. Avi Loeb act so fast and jump so quickly to come back on the space show to present his Big Bang sort of countervailing ideas? He likes being on the space show. He likes the questions. He likes the listeners. He likes the platform. And so he's coming back on. And he told me he has a meeting that he has to attend, so I think he'll be on for a little bit more than an hour. But he responded right away. So this is, again, another example of people knowing the quality of the space show, the quality of the listeners and the programming and the questions, and they want to be part of it. And why is that? That's because you guys out there and gals have some ownership in the space show. You help make it good by your participation, by your questions, your participation, and by your donations and your supporting it. Because without your financial support, none of this would be happening. Now, the world would get along without the space show. We know that. I'd be finding something else to do. You'd get your space programming elsewhere, but you sure wouldn't get the space show. And so you're a very important part of this program, and people know it, and they want to be on the platform, and that's why we can get really incredible programming like the two examples I've just given you. But it takes funding to take us into the new year and finance us through 2023. So during this brief period of time, about 5 weeks out of the year, we go intensive for fundraising. And we ask you for your contributions and your support. And I'm doing that again tonight. And I'm giving you some examples of why it is so important to support the space show. Now, I want to say something else. I do hope you watch Goodnight Avi. It's on Amazon Prime, and it is really terrific. Maybe someone out there is listening to this fundraising show, and they'll want to call in and talk about it. But I watched Goodnight Avi late at night on my iPhone. And that was fine. Yeah, it was clear and good connection and no complaints whatsoever. And it was an hour and 5 minutes. And boy, when it was over, there was no doubt that JPL, in fact, I even told Doug that I thought JPL should be the model for the government, that it is the way things ought to be on their planetary science program. And I paid attention when I watched Goodnight Avi. I wanted to look at several things. So, first of all, it's the story of the people behind Spirit and Opportunity. So there are lots and lots of people from JPL in the movie. You're in the control room. You're in the sandboxes outside of JPL and the demos and stuff like that. And I look at the people, and the people are from all over. I mean, literally all over. Men, women, different races, different colors. I mean, they're all over. The only thing missing are little green men from Mars, or green women from Mars. I'm assuming both would be green, right? Well, at least that's the legend. They were missing. They weren't there. But, I mean, the human race was there at JPL, and they took us to Mars. And they, you know, they had challenges that were unbelievable. One of the challenges that they talked a lot about in the film was that they had to be ready to go on the pad, perfected, tested, 100% confidence, and they had to be ready in the period of the launch window, and if they missed it, like Artemis misses and gets delayed going to the moon, the next window is 29 months away, or 28 months away. They made that window, and we know the history. Both of them worked flawlessly, and launches were flawlessly. I mean, this is an incredible opportunity. This is really looking at humans doing very, very great, complicated, wonderful things that benefit humanity, that benefit everybody. And they come from everywhere to do that. My God, what a beautiful... What a beautiful everything. This is kind of the vision of the space show. And in fact, when I used to play vision messages, this was our vision of the space show. I mean, not Avi and Spirit, but this kind of thing that happened. This is the dream. This is the world we really want to live in. We want to see all of us coming together, doing things that are great, whether it's in medicine, whether it's in literature, whether it might be in poetry, maybe it's in construction, whatever it may be, this is what the human potential can achieve. And just an unbelievable high coming off of Goodnight Avi. So it was on my iPhone, so I exit out of Prime and all of that, and all of a sudden, all these alerts start coming up on my iPhone and emails and text messages because they were silenced during the watching of the film. So, you know, you all know I'm in Las Vegas now. So what do I see? I see shootings. I see Ring doorbell people saying, look at this man. He's breaking into my car. Another one reporting, I'm in this area. My catalytic converter has been ripped off. I mean, there must have been 10 messages of shootings, robberies, drunk driving, Ring doorbell reports of people trying to steal cars, break into cars, catalytic converter stolen, and a mountain lion that was maybe two blocks from where I am and where I walk Pepper sometimes was in the area, and they had called Metro. That's what they call the cops out here, Metro. And it took a long time for Metro to get there. And eventually, long after I'd seen the movie, the mountain lion eventually got captured. But that was in the reporting, too. And I'm thinking, Charles Dickens, this is the best of times and the worst of times. And we have both going on simultaneously. The best of times, our space program. Examples like JPL. And all of us who have made JPL possible, yeah, we pay taxes and that helps JPL. So we're in it to that degree. But we're also enthusiastic. We support it. We love these people. We work with them. We talk with them. We encourage them. We're excited. And in the movie, you see gobs of students in the control room that are being invited in to see what they're doing with the rovers and to see how they're operating them once they're on Mars and stuff like that. And there's one girl that watched Oppie launch. And Oppie lasted 15 years. And by the end of that 15-year period, she was a PhD working at JPL and part of this program. And she made a timeline of Oppie's life at JPL. And rather than putting a timeline like Sol 1, Sol 3, you know, Sol is a Martian day, she wrote the events of her life, like graduation, master's degree, PhD program started, PhD completed. The timeline was her accomplishments in education and preparing to go work at JPL and hoping to be on this program over Oppie's life. Just amazing. And then I come back into reality. And what's reality? It's a world of what the hell are we doing to ourselves? This is not our vision. This is not how any of us want to live. It doesn't matter whether we're on this side of the aisle or that side of the aisle. We want our kids to be safe. We want our kids to have a really super quality education so they have a shot at putting a robot on a Mars or going into the upper atmosphere of Venus or Titan someday. You know, all of us want that. At least I think all of us want that. Maybe some of us don't. But boy, that's not what I came back to after I saw the film and my iPhone just started doing the typical news alerts and stuff like that. What a contrast. Charles Dickens, the best of times, the worst of times, simultaneously. Well, you know what? I choose the vision and the world of Oppie and Spirit and JPL and Mars and the Space Show and other programs that make all of this possible. It's a choice that we make, and it's a vision that we choose to do our very best to create. And I don't want what I see in the reality. Now, I don't know how to solve it, but I'm just saying this. But space, and boy, you'll really see it when you see this film. And if you listen to Doug's interview, you'll get a real strong sense of it. This is where you want to hang out, people. And the space show brings it right to you. How many of you will get to talk to members of the JPL team that put Spirit and Opportunity on Mars and kept Oppie alive for 15 years? You could have talked to him last night. You can send notes on the blog and he'll see him. And maybe Doug will have time to respond. I don't know. That's up to him. But this is the value and the importance of the space show. This is not a podcast like other podcasts, not really even a podcast. It's a live radio broadcast that we re-record and reprocess into a podcast. But this is what the space show does. this is our vision. It's synonymous with what you saw in Goodnight Oppie and that Doug brought to life in his interview with us. But we need support to make it happen. And yes, on the one hand, I wish I didn't have to ask you for money. But on the other hand, it's an honor for me to ask you to participate in this dream. So, listeners, I'm asking you to participate in this dream. It's a dream that goes way beyond yourself. It spans time because it's kind of a never-ending dream, isn't it? Because one day it won't be Opportunity and Spirit on Mars, but it'll be who knows what on Titan or some other place in the solar system or maybe in the universe. Or maybe it'll be our first interstellar probe going to Alpha Centauri. And we'll be there. The space show, as long as I can handle it, will be there, and maybe a successor will be there. But again, it takes the funding and the support. And that's why during this campaign period, and especially during this campaign period in 2022, I am working day and night to help fund and support the space show. And by the way, I fund and support it with my own money, too. I wish I had more to put in, but, you know, and I'm doing the best I can. And, you know, by the end of the year, if people really want to know what I put in, I'll give you the totals. I'm pretty transparent. But do support us, listeners. That's what this special space show program is about tonight. It's to let you know why we need the support. It's to let you know what we do with the money and what the importance is and how we bring space into such high-value relationships with people. And you get to own part of it by being a supporter and a donor, excuse me. So I've been talking to you for about an hour. I don't know if anyone wants to call in. I'm happy to talk to you, take your calls. You can do regular space topics if you want. We'll see if anyone wants to do that. It is toll-free 866-687-7223. And if you want to send an email and you want to talk about fundraising or anything I've said or anything else in general, suggestions, it's drspace@thespaceshow.com. And if you don't want to do that, that's fine too. But when I sign off, and then I will archive this show, I'll see if I can get it archived, at least the audio, tonight. And then I will post another fundraising message tomorrow, which tells the story in the written format, because I think it's important. All I can do is ask you for your support and your donations, and I hope you will come through, because I've told you why, to me, the space show is very, very important. And it offers us a far better reality than what many of us are seeing unfold every day. So I want to thank you for listening for this close to an hour, 55 minutes. I appreciate it. If you do support us, remember we have a PayPal button in the upper right side corner of our homepage. So PayPal is very easy to use, and PayPal does not take a commission off of your contribution. So it's a great way to support us, and we hope you will use it. Some of you have been using Zelle, Z-E-L-L-E, if your bank participates in a Zelle transfer program. And Zelle is fine, and One Giant Leap, our nonprofit, banks at Chase Bank, and the email associated with One Giant Leap in order to use Zelle is david@onegiantleapfoundation.org. And one is always spelled out, O-N-E. It's not the number one. So let me repeat the email again for Zelle contributions. David@onegiantleapfoundation.org. For those of you that do want to mail us a check, that's fine. Please make it payable to One ONE Giant Leap Foundation. It mails care of David Livingston or Dr. David Livingston, 11035 Lavender Hill Drive, Suite 160-306, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89135. So those are the three ways you can donate and support the space show. I don't know if Zelle is an international service or not, but I guess you can find that out from your bank. And a lot of more and more people are using Zelle. I use Zelle quite a bit for different things, but that's a possibility. So that's what I wanted to say tonight. And I wanted to make a personal appeal, a personal pitch, as they say, for you to donate and support the space show during our 2022 annual campaign. Programming and upgrades and plans need your financial support, and I hope you can do it. And it's great that you listen to the space show and that you share this bigger-than-life dream that hopefully one day will become the standard dream for all of us. Because believe me, it's so superior to the alternatives. This is why so many people think space is the pathway to such a much better life around the world. And I do believe that too. And Good Night Oppie shows that, especially when you come back to reality and you saw unfolding on your phone the news and the alerts and the text messages that I saw. What a contrast. What a contrast. Listeners, I want to thank you very much for supporting and being there for the space show for more than two decades. I hope you'll be there for many, many more years to come in helping us meet these goals and these opportunities and these upgrades and things like that. And I hope you too share the value and the beauty of the space vision that you will see in Good Night Oppie and hear in Doug's voice during the space show program, and that you hear in a lot of space show programs and voices, including mine, including callers, and including those of other guests. Thank you very much. Our next program will be on Friday. It'll be live at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time, and that is our Avi Loeb program, where Avi is going to talk about his new ideas on the Big Bang Theory. And I posted the news article that Fremont John sent me, and it is on the blog already for the Avi Loeb show. So I suggest you read it, and hopefully you can listen to the program and call in and talk to Professor Loeb. Once again, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for your support, and have a great night. And I'll see you or hear from you on the next show, Friday morning, December 9th, 9:30 a.m. Pacific time. Everybody have a great night. And as always, do keep looking up. Thank you very much. And again, good night from David and the Space Show.